Today's Mishnah in Masechet Zavim, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is Perek Daled, Mishnah Zayin. So, we had before the concept of the Zav lying across the width of the various benches, and we learned over there a Yesod. The Yesod was, unless it's the Rov of the weight of the Zav that's being supported, he cannot be Metame Midras Umoshev. Now, there are other cases similar to that issue where we have to analyze whether we have the Rov of the weight or not. So let's imagine a case like this. A Zav is sitting on a bed. This bed has four legs. Each one of those legs has some beged underneath it. So let's say we have four separate talitot, one under each of the four legs of a bed. Each one of these are tame. Why? Aren't we distributing the weight of the Zav across four different legs? So each one is only supporting 25% of his weight. And you said that we needed to have the weight, the Rov of the weight. Well, 25% isn't the Rov. So we have a concept, which is a Gavi concept, assuming that the magic wand is available, and that is Misayeya Ein Bo Mamash. When something is just an additional support, it's not considered to be meaningful. But in a case where it's not dispensable, you cannot say Misayeya Ein Bo Mamash. If you take away one of the legs of this bed, it's not usable. And therefore, in this case, we would say that each one of these legs is considered to be supporting the Zav. A bed with three legs is not a useful bed. And therefore, we consider his Rov to be on each of the legs. But Rabbi Shimon says, no, the fact that it's indispensable doesn't change what I said before. I said before in the Mishnah, I said that if you've got, even on a theoretical where it's mamish, an abstraction, you put two beds on one side of the seesaw and the Zav on the other side of the seesaw, where, I mean, there you need the weight of both of those beds to lift the Zav. And I said it doesn't count. If you've got more than two, you're not going to be able to be metame with midras, even though nobody's even on the bed. So I say exactly the same thing over here. In reality, it needs to actually support the Rov, not theoretically. It needs to actually support the Rov and not 25%. But let's take another case, which you would think would be exactly the same. The Zav is now on an animal, and you've got four talitot, one under each leg of the animal. Then for sure it's tar, even according to the Tanna Kamma. Why? Because an animal can definitely stand on three legs. So therefore, each one of those legs is a fifth wheel. And therefore, the talit under that one is not actually tummy. And therefore, what we are saying over here is it's not indispensable because at all times the weight could have been supported without that particular leg. And therefore, it's not going to be metami. But suppose you have one talit that's under both front legs. Haita talit achat tachat shnei yadayim. Or you've got one talit under both rear legs, hind legs, tachat shnei raglayim. Or you have one talit that's under one side of the animal, the front and hind legs. Then there's no way that an animal could stand without two legs. And therefore, in that case, it would be tame according to the Tanna Kamma, because since the animal cannot actually be mimed itself on only two legs, so that pair of legs that you put the talit under is actually a misayeya sheyeshbo mamash, because we cannot do without it. And because of that, it would be metame according to the Tanna Kamma. Rabbi Shimon would still argue. Fine. Now, we said before that all, according to the Tanna Kamma, all of the begadim are considered to be tahar because the animal can do without one of those legs. However, Rabbi Yossi says, now, let's not jump to conclusions. It actually depends on the type of animal that you're talking about and how that type of animal generally distributes its own weight. And that is very different for different types of animal. If you're talking about a horse, now a horse is very focused on running, not on carrying. And therefore, the movement of the horse is always fundamentally is pushing against his hind legs, not his front legs. And so if you're talking about a sus, if there was a beged under one of those hind legs, then it's going to become tamei because it's not going to be able to be a proper horsey if it's missing even one of those hind legs. But now let's talk about a chamor. A chamor basically is used for carrying, and it supports its most of its weight and what it does on its front legs in order to hold up the burden that's going to be on it. So there, it would be the opposite. A chamor biyadav, because mish'enet asus al raglav and mish'enet achamor al yadav. You're using the concept of leg as a hind leg and yadayim as a front leg, which reminds us of the original Hebrew for the rear axle. So the rear axle used to be called a front axle achori, because they were so used to replacing the front axle was the front axle. The front axle became the axle. So now if you're talking about a rear axle, it's the front axle achori. So, okay, so here we have the chamor biyadav and the sus al raglav. Now, how about if a zav is sitting on a korat beit habad, and instead of having the olives in the beit habad, what you had was, remember, normally you have the akel habad, which is that little basket that you put the olives into. It holds it all together, and then you can press on it, and it doesn't scatter. Akel holds it in place. And then you take this heavy korah, you put the korah on, and the weight of the heavy korah gradually presses and gets all the oil that was in the olives that were in the akel. Now, suppose you put in kalim that are shayach to midras. You put in clothing, let's say, right? You put it into the akel beit habad, and now you put down the korah, and you have the zav sitting anywhere on this korah. This korah could be 10 feet long, and the place of the akel where the clothing are is like, I don't know, it's a half a foot, and it's nowhere near where he's sitting. That doesn't matter, because his weight is here pushing down on those clothes when he's sitting on the korat beit habad. The fact that we have other things also on top of those clothes is no different than the princess and the pea. And it doesn't have to be that he's directly over it either. He's not directly over it. He could be anywhere on that korab, which will press down against those clothing. The same thing would be true, you would think, of a machbesh shokoves. A machbesh shokoves is the early form of an ironing board. Now, since they didn't have warm irons, so the way in which the koves would make sure that your pants come out pressed would be to put the pants down on a flat board, position them properly so that the creases are in the right place, put another board on top of that, and then the weight would allow it to dry in shape. This is similar to what they have in the hotels where they have, you know, like that. You put your pants inside the two pieces of wood, you press two pieces together. Okay, that's what a machbesh would be. So if a zav sits on the side of the machbesh, but he's not directly over the clothes, then it's tahar, because essentially you're not really supporting yourself on the empty air that's the middle part. You're going to be sitting on the edge in order not to crack anything. And the edge is not what is pressing down on the kalim. It's only the actual board that's pressing on the kalim. And in that case, the kalim, meaning your pants that are being pressed, those kalim are tahorim because the weight is not over them. Rabbi Nechemia says, even there, it's tameh because there's always going to be the weight of the zav that is translated into a little bit into the place where the begadim are. Okay, Rabbosai, that brings us to the Hadron Halach Rabbi Yeshua Omer. And tomorrow we get into the most chashuv perek, and this is the perek I mentioned to you yesterday that the Gra makes a big deal of, and he says, everybody should learn the fifth perek of Zavim till they know it thoroughly, because all of the dinim of Tuma v'Taira, just about, are included in that amazing one perek. So, although we've learned a lot of the general dinim of Tuma of Zav, in the next perek, we hope to be able to go through all of the, we already started the contrast between Tumas Hames, yesterday's Mishnah, and Tumas of Midras, which we talked about, and with Madaf and Elyona Shazav, we introduced even that, and we talked about Heset, so we've done quite a bit, but it turns out that the main work of the general concepts of Tuma are in front of us, and I guess we'll be doing that on starting next week, Bezrat Hashem, in Perek Hamishi of Zav and Friends. So this episode of Zav and Friends was brought to you. We'll see you, Bezrat Hashem, tomorrow. Have a wonderful day. Kol tov.